Timing is everything. When you tell a joke, you've got to have good timing or else it's not going to work. You just can't rattle it out off. For example, what is an Oriental eye doctor's favorite car? A cataract. But if I said, what is a favorite Oriental doctor's favorite eye doctor's favorite car? Cadillac. It wouldn't work. But you have to have that little pause in there to make it work. I bet he is all upset. Well, you don't ask for a raise when business is going bad, do you? That's part of timing. You don't correct somebody who feels threatened by you. You don't ask for a favor of somebody when they are under a lot of stress. Timing is important in cooking. A juicy hamburger on the grill is great, but after a while it'll become a piece of charcoal. Timing is great. Timing is important in medicine. The earlier you get something, usually the better it is. Timing is important in finance. When you invest in a particular stock, it can do wonders for you, or it could do just the opposite. Timing is very important in your spiritual life as well. Jesus was very cognizant of timing, acute awareness of timing for his life. The Gospel of John says, for example, in John 2:4, my time has not yet come, he said. In John 7, he said, the right time for me has not yet come. Again, he said it. Well, he was aware that the timing wasn't there. Peter tells us the second coming of Christ is a matter of timing. We don't know what that timing is because we were told that we will not know the day or the hour. Well, this morning, we're going back to the book of Exodus and the story of Moses. Well, Moses was raised with the Pharaoh in the great building that they lived in. And he went out to the place where the Israelites were working, and he saw an Egyptian slave master beating a Hebrew and killed him. And Moses got so upset that he went and he killed the Egyptian and he buried him in the sand. Well, the next day he went out again and he saw two Hebrews fighting amongst themselves. He said, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? And he said, the man said to him, who are you to judge? Because you just killed somebody yesterday. You think that you're something special? And Moses was afraid and thought, gee, I must be known. Everybody must know about me now. Then Pharaoh heard about that. He said, I've got to kill Moses even though he lives in my kingdom. But Moses heard about that and he fled hundreds of miles to the east to the country of Midian. And he sat down by a well when he got there. He was well-trained, educated, but he knew that he was a Jew. Our text tells us that Moses went out where his own people were, and he knew that. I imagine Moses was deeply frustrated by the circumstances of the Jews being in bondage as slaves. They weren't even a country anymore. They were just a bunch of tribes. Now let's give Moses the benefit of the doubt for a second. His intention was to protect people. He wanted the Egyptians to stop beating the slaves. He was already yearning to get the people out of Egypt and into the promised land. He was honoring God, and he really meant well, but he didn't do it right. He had to leave. He was a prince of Egypt, but he had to depart. Well, Moses was not ready to be a leader yet. He was not ready to get to take the Hebrews out of Egypt. Moses thinks that he's helping God, but he's really just making matters worse. How often do we do that? Listen to the story of Abraham and Sarah. They became impatient with God because they didn't have a baby yet. So they took the matters into their own hands, and Sarah said to Abraham, why don't you have a child by my handmaiden Hagar? Hagar became pregnant and brought Ishmael into the world. Rather than make the situation better, it made things worse. And the Arab-Israeli conflict began then and continues some 4,000 years later. Bad timing. There are many other examples of bad timing in the scriptures. Peter tried to help Jesus by cutting off of Malchus's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm sure he was aiming for his head, but he missed and just chopped off his ear. And Jesus had to rebuke Peter for being so rambunctious. It's possible that Judas was really trying to help Jesus by forcing him to show his power. Instead, he committed suicide because of what he'd done, because he had been a party to the execution of the Son of God. God's timing for us is perfect, but ours is flawed. Let me give you some examples. Oh, sometimes we want something and we go into great debt to get it, and that's bad timing. Sometimes we wait for a nice quiet time to talk to a friend, but we blurt out something that's in confidence, which is a bad timing. Instead of a church waiting for the right time to build, they go ahead and go into great debt and have a really difficult time doing the ministry. God knows what he is doing, and we need to listen to him when he dares to live by his timing. Great things happen when we live by God's timing. Listen to what Isaiah says: those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah 40. We like that idea of flying high, of being great, running without weariness, without getting tired. We are to trust his timing, his plan, and his purpose for each one of us. Each one of us, God has a different script for you. What are some indicators that our timing is bad? Well, sometimes we have an impulse and do things on the spur of the moment without asking the Lord to give us an insight, some help. Sometimes we hear a voice inside of us saying, I know I shouldn't, but, you know, it's really something pretty good, I think. When we ignore God's timing, we walk into trouble. Sometimes we rely upon the works of men and not the works of God. We look at what other people are doing and say, wow, that's really great. Why don't I try to do that too? Moses went to work to try to kill the Egyptians like a bull in a china shop. He put his confidence in his ability rather than the Lord's ability. That's what happens to us. We sometimes face a tough situation. We use things such as manipulation, intimidation, guilt, slander, questionable means. Sometimes we have to sin to obey God. In our own mind, we think we have to do that. When Moses chose murder, he should have known he wasn't following God's will. He should not have done that. God does not encourage people to sin. Moses immediately, when he killed that Egyptian, he immediately buried him in the sand to cover up what he did. He knew it was wrong. Moses knew he had to get out of town. He had to go to Midian, hundreds of miles away. There are other times that God wants us to act and we don't. How often do we hear that still, quiet voice in our minds to say, you need to do this? Oh, you know, I'm too busy. I'm too tired. I've done that before. I've been there before, like most of you have been there before, that's for sure. God opens the door for us to share the gospel to others, but sometimes we're silent. God provides a ministry for us to do, but sometimes we say we're too busy. God nudges us to extend our mercy by a phone call or a touch or a kind word, but we ignore that leading from God. God gives us an opportunity to make a substantial contribution in many ways by our own talents, time, and treasure. We don't. Look at what our little church does with our tithes and offerings. Now, that's your treasure. Comes into the storehouse, as it says in Malachi. It goes into the storehouse, which is the church, run by Betty and Marge DiMarino. We fed thousands of relief workers and victims in Texas. Most of us alone could not afford that. We fed 2,000 people. Can you imagine our little church feeding 2,000 people? Every week, we bring food and clothing to the poor in the inner city, not just on Christmas or Thanksgiving, but every week we fill their pantry. And every year we make close to 100 children very happy to know that the gospel is being brought to them in a shoebox, because they're given the shoebox at Christmas time, and a pastor there shares with them the gospel. It's wonderful. In each of these cases, we work to bring the word of the Lord to people. It's exciting to see what God will do. Sometimes we look and say, oh, there's a door closed for me. I can't get through that door. I need to find out what God is going to do for me. All this happens in the hands of Moses. Moses had to wait 40 years before he really got the people out of Egypt. Well, he doesn't retreat. He went to Midian and he came to this well. And he sees these women trying to gather water for the day. And there are men who are pushing them away so they can't get their water. So Moses did something very unusual. He said, wait, stop. This water isn't just yours. These women were here first. Wait your turn. And with the power of God on his side, he drove them off. Well, he was learning now to use God, and he drove those men off. And then he comes back home to where the women lived, and Reuel's name, who was the father of the women, said, Where is our hero who saved you from getting pushed away from getting water? They said, well, Moses is back at the well. And Reuel's response was, well, no wonder you're still single. You didn't invite Moses to come back. You didn't invite Moses to come for dinner. Moses is still there, back at the well, waiting for an invitation. Well, he comes back to the home of the four daughters, and he marries Zipporah. And he lived there for 40 years. Well, maybe there are some things in your life that have been messed up. Maybe there have been some times when you have ignored God and just pushed God back. And sometimes that has created a mess for you. There may be a fractured family, emotional scars, mountains of debt, others who have suffered. And now you can say to yourself, oh, it's all over. I have made a mess of things. There's no hope for me. Well, you're wrong. God will take whatever circumstance you are, just turn your position, your orientation to him and not turn your back on him. God will help you put it back together again. Moses had a shattered life. He was the son of the Pharaoh, stepson of the Pharaoh. He had a wonderful life, and he killed an Egyptian, and that caused his life to go down the tubes. So the key question becomes very simple. What do we do to renew our strength, to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not grow weary, to walk and not be faint? We need to learn to do several things. We need to learn to know God. How do you do that? We will anticipate that we need to know God by being with him daily, quietly sometimes imploring, sometimes screaming at God. I've done that. Why? Why, God? We need to discipline ourselves to seek God's will, not just at 1 hour in the morning, but make your lifestyle one that carries forward with God. We need to learn to check in with the Lord. Hey, how things are going, God? Have you ever agreed to do something that you've asked God's wisdom to correct us and to direct us? That's important. Have you ever declined something without seeking God's guidance? Don't do that. Whenever you're coming up to a question about what you are to do in your life, make sure that you should use God, because he is a tremendous helper. We must learn to listen. That's the most important thing. God does whisper directions to us every day. Listen to us. Many times we don't understand. We wonder, we come up against this door, and the door is closed, and we have to look around the corner. What other doors are there? There are more doors than just one. There are new doors for us that are being created every day for us to open. He gives us the opportunity to grow in our faith. He gives us this opportunity because these doors are sometimes hidden because we have blinders on. We're just looking at one thing. Many of us are facing a moment of decision, aren't we, in terms of, are we going to continue to live here? What do we do with our finances? Do we downsize? Do we move? What do we do with the children? Do we follow them? Do they follow us? Lots of decisions. Are you standing in front of an open door? Do you feel like you have an open door through Christ? Or do you see a closed door? But if you look around the corner, if you look around and listen to God, there is a door open for you, all of us. We are to serve boldly. Are you licking your wounds from a mistake in the past? There are lots of wounds out there. Then head to your Lord. Yes, He is your Lord. And experience His grace anew. He will take those wounds and heal them and make you whole. Trust in the Lord. He knows what's best. He knows what's best for you. But if you don't know Him, how can you know what He has best for you? He's well aware that timing is everything. And if you listen to Him, His timing will be yours. And let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
Stones, a time to gather stones.